So this message has been on my heart for a while. And I want to start by just reading these verses. These are Jesus speaking to us, to his disciples, to the crowd, and a message that I think we need along with what Chad shared. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So I want us to look at this passage this morning. I want us to think of a number of things. One of the things that I'd like us to ask ourselves is this. Have you ever done a task, a job, something that you enjoyed so much that when you got done with that task, you were not worn out, you were invigorated, you were just, it just charged you up and you were ready to go and you just couldn't wait till you got to do that again? That's the picture that I get from this passage. Jesus says, you come to me, you take my yoke, you get beside me, my burden is light, you'll find rest for your souls. You'll come to the end of your day just invigorated. Not frazzled, not worn out, not wasted and wondering where you're going to go next. That's the picture that I get when I read these verses. And you say, well, yeah, sounds good, pie in the sky by and by. No, I think there's a lesson here for us that we can learn. What word, if you were to pick one word that would describe the condition of your mind, will, and emotions, your soul, what word would that be today? Frazzled? Wrecked? Overflowing? At rest? What word would you use to describe that? And then, what would it take for you to be refreshed in your mind, will, and emotions? A little time at the beach? What would it take? And I'm guessing most of us, when we start thinking about this, we think about a weekend camping. We think about some kind of activity that is going to give us some kind of refreshment. And that's fine. Except at the end of the weekend, we're wore out. And the next day we got to go to work. Somehow, that's not really refreshing. It has a certain amount of relief, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later, but not refreshment. So how is this possible? How can I, and I, by the way, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching at me, how can we in our lives find this place? Find what we're looking for. Find what it takes for us to enjoy life. For us to enjoy the presence of God, the presence of others, for us to enjoy. I'm just reminded of the story from some time back about the Pakistani man, Christian man, whose job was cleaning sewers without any equipment but his body. Go down in the sewer, spend the day down there cleaning sewers, come out, rinse off, wash off, and a big smile on his face. How could his mind, will, and emotions, and that's a true story, that's not made up. How could his mind, will, and emotions come out of the sewer at the end of the day with a smile on his face, refreshed? He knew something about these verses. He might have not known these verses, but he knew something about these verses. And then I want to ask us, have us think about this question yet. What do you think God wants for us? What do you think Jesus is telling us? What he wants for us at the end of the day? Does he want us to be refreshed? Or does he want us to be drained? Have nothing left to offer anyone? Not even ourselves. What do you think God really wants for us? What do you think Jesus is teaching here? Is he giving us something that's actually for us and is something worthwhile? Or is it something that it's just out there somewhere, a dream that I'd like to wake up from and see that it's reality? Or is it reality? So let's look at the con. This is the Living or the Message Bible, and just pay attention here. Don't get off on a tangent. Just pay attention. We're going to go through this. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. His yoke fits us, and it's not heavy. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. My burden is light. You might not care for that translation, but we'll unpack it a little bit more. All right, so it was interesting. I had this message on my mind, and this book was referred to me, Get Your Life Back by John Eldridge. It's about rest. And he examines our lives, and so I read that book, and I found it interesting and helpful personally. Let's look at the context here a little bit. So if you go back into Matthew 10 is Jesus spending time teaching his disciples. He's telling them what he wants them to do. Matthew chapter 11 starts out that Jesus is going into their towns and cities and preaching and teaching. So where the disciples came from, Jesus is out there ministering to the people. John hears, this is all in chapter 11. John hears from prison what's going on, and he's puzzled. Is this actually the Christ or not? And so he sends his messengers and asks about it. And then Jesus talks to the crowd that he's addressing, and he wonders what they're thinking about John, what they expected, what they were looking for when they saw John or heard about him and so on. And then Jesus condemns the unbelief that's directed at him from the towns and cities of the people of the Jewish people, of his people. They're condemning him. They're putting him down. They're talking bad about him. And Jesus says to them, if this would have been preached, he actually says this, if this would have been preached in Sodom, Sodom would still exist today. Those people would have repented when they heard this message. You won't listen to it. It's interesting. There's phrases here in these sections that are really important. And there's this phrase right here in verse 25 that says, at this time. At this time. And it's also used in chapter 12, verse 1. At this time. And I when I read that, I thought, this is significant. Because that phrase is not used everywhere. It's used here. And if you go into Luke chapter 6, excuse me. By the way, did the note papers get passed out? They're back there. Would you get some guys to pass them out? I just happened to think about that. In Luke chapter 6, he says it this way. The second Sabbath after the first. And the idea is that it's here between Passover and Pentecost. So this is speaking about a particular time. At this time. So it's between Passover and Pentecost. Between the idea of coming out of the bondage of Egypt and entering into spirit life. The coming of the Spirit. Pentecost. Okay? So that's the picture that's happening here. At this time, Jesus says this. It's important for us to notice that. Then you see Jesus talking with his father. You see a little father-son dialogue in 26, 27 there. And then in Matthew chapter 12, the Pharisees try to condemn Jesus. So you read, Jesus heals this person, Jesus' disciple, it starts out with his disciples walking through the fields and grabbing some grain and eating it, and to the Pharisees, that's harvesting. And it's not right to do on the Sabbath day. So if you want note paper, raise your hand and they'll bring it to you. So there's all this stuff going on, and I want us to get this picture because it's important. So when the message said, if you're weary with religious activity, burdened with it, they were speaking about what the Pharisees were doing. And it's interesting, we're not going to take the time to go through all these words, but it's interesting that if you do, you find out this burden that he talks about here is used in the context of the Pharisees. He says, the Pharisees put heavy burdens on you that are hard to be borne. Well, Jesus says, you take my yoke on you, it's light. It's not hard to be borne. It's not heavy. So he's giving that context, so that's where that comes from in there. Oh man, I don't want to spend all the time going through this stuff here. But I do want to point out one thing. The word rest in verse 28 is not sleeping. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking, come unto me and you can sleep. We often talk about Sabbath rest. We rest on Sunday. Well, yeah, we take a nap. No, that's not what he's talking about. Look at there at the bottom at Luke 12:19. It's the rich man. He says to himself, "You've got many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease. Rest. Rest. Relax. Refresh." We'll look at that some more. Let's just look at some of this. I want this to be really, really practical. Really where we live. Jesus says, "You come to me." The word "come" there is an imperative. It's the same word that he used to tell his disciples, "Follow me." So he's saying, "You come." He's not just saying, come. He's saying, "Come. Follow. You come with me." Okay? That stands in contrast to us taking our own way. Taking our own way is very wearing. It's very heavy. It has a lot of burden. It's difficult. It's not something that we can just live with and be refreshed and relaxed. He says this about the wicked over in Isaiah 57:20. "The wicked are like the troubled sea which cannot rest." Now the picture here is a calm sea. We know what a troubled sea looks like. The waves just crash and crash and crash and crash. And I had to think. It goes on and he says, "It casts up mire and dirt." You look in this water, when it comes washing up on shore, there's not a lot of junk in it. But when those waves are churning, there is so much stuff coming up on shore. And he says, look, that's the way the wicked are. They can't rest. Why? Because our own ideas, our own desires, our own path, our own way does not lead to rest. Jesus said, "Come follow me. Then you'll find rest." That's where it's at. That's where rest is. Not in me figuring out how I'm going to find some vacation. We have some friends. One of their things in life is to take the most exotic vacations. They both have good jobs. That's one of the things they live for. And they've been all over the world looking for rest. They don't find it. They don't find it. All the money they spend, all the good times they have, do not bring rest to their soul. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 23 and Luke 13. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered your children to me like a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. I wanted to give them rest. I wanted to protect them. I wanted to give them what they were looking for. But you wouldn't do it. You had your own agenda. You had your own plans. You had your own thing going on." You know what? Having our own thing going on may include Jesus' name. But it's not coming to Him and following Him. There's a lot of difference. A lot of difference. The burden of expectations and misguided religious fervor. What expectations do you place on yourself? Do they weigh you down? Or do they give you rest? Jesus said, My yoke, my expectations for you, my plan for you is to prosper you. I'm for you, not against you. And my plans will give you rest. Your expectations for yourself are not going to give you rest. In fact, others' expectations over you are not going to give you rest. Are you living under your own expectations? Are you living under others' expectations? You're not going to find rest that Jesus is talking about. It's so, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later. This is what I was talking about, Matthew 23. Jesus said the Pharisees bind heavy burdens on you. They're hard to bear. There's this religious activity, this idea of how we can please God, of how we can, and Colossians, you go into Colossians, Paul talks about this a lot, how people have all these things that they're doing, and he says it actually has some value as far as our mind, but it doesn't do anything for our soul. All the activity that the Pharisees were requiring of people did not bring them rest. It did not bring them refreshment. It is so exciting to me. You go and you see someone that has just come to the Lord. They've just found freedom. Their hearts are free for the first time in their lives. They are so excited. They're refreshed. They're invigorated. They're strengthened. They just can't wait to go and live their lives. Why? Because they've come to Jesus and He's given them rest. If people did exactly what you think they should do to be a follower of Christ, would it give them rest or would it be a heavy burden? Something to think about. Peter comes along and he talks about a yoke on the neck of the disciples that they were unable to bear. What's he talking about? He's talking about the law. He's talking about circumcision. He's talking about things that had happened that were part of Jewish experience. He says they were this heavy burden. They were this yoke that just wasn't working at all. And Jesus says, you come put my yoke on you. It's light. It's easy. There's no hardship there. There's no difficulty there. What religious expectations do you have on yourself or on others? Important question for us to ask. I'll say it this way. Your Christian activities, at the end of the day, do they bring you refreshment, encouragement, strength, or do they weigh you down? Do they make life hard for you and for others? The weight of troubled thoughts. What do you think during the day? If you were able to graph your thoughts, if we made a pie chart of your thoughts, my thoughts, and we'd have a section, here's my thoughts that are focused on Him. How big a pie would that be? How big a piece of that pie? My thoughts that are focused on me, my problems, my issues, the way people are treating me, all of these things, how big of a piece of the pie does that look like? Poor me. My thoughts about others. Critical thoughts. Or unkind thoughts. How big a piece of the pie is that? My thoughts of guilt, shame. How big a piece of pie? If I was able to graph my thoughts that way, what would my pie look like? What would it taste like? You see, troubled thoughts won't let us rest. Jesus appeared to his disciples after his death and resurrection, and they were scared to death. And he said, why are you troubled? Why are you thinking these thoughts? Why do these thoughts come up in your minds and your heart? They weren't thoughts of rest. They weren't thoughts of peace. They were thoughts of fear and doubt and question. And we could ask ourselves, in that pie, how many of my thoughts are thoughts of fear? How many of my thoughts are thoughts of doubt? How many of my thoughts are thoughts that are dragging me down and down and down? You know what depression is? Depression is when our whole pie is junk stuff, and that's all we can think about. Lies, miserable thoughts. And the only way that a person can come out of depression is to change their thinking. You know how we change our thinking? Come to Him. Come unto me, all you that labor. That can be thoughts. Your thoughts can wear you out. You can come to the end of the day and you can be so tired and have no energy left because of the thoughts you were thinking all day. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You can tell a lot about what a person's thinking by how they walk around. You see somebody walking around like this, what's going on? What's happening? Heavy burden. For whatever reason. You see somebody going around walking. They got a spring in their step. They've got a smile on their face. They're going somewhere. What's happening? Their step is light. We call it that, don't we? They're light-hearted. That's what Jesus is talking about. You can live life with joy in your heart, with a spring in your step. Sure, there's difficulties that come. Sure, there's hard times. Sure, there's grief and sorrow. Sure, that's part of life. He's not belittling that. What he's saying is, look, that's going to be there, but come to me, and I will give you rest. Just come, put my yoke on, walk with me. Learn from me. Hear what I want to teach you. Watch how I respond. And then Jesus gives us this in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. He often says that. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. You know, we can get troubled about a lot of things. You remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha, you're troubled about many things. But Mary's chosen the good part. She's sitting at my feet. She's come to me, and I've given her rest. There's so much here that we could talk about. What I would encourage you to do is just ask the Spirit to show you what's going on in your life that causes you burden, that causes you to be heavy-hearted, that causes you to not be able to rise in lightness. The word rest there actually includes recreation. When God finished creating the seventh day, what did He do? Sleep? No, He didn't sleep. You know what? Rest actually has the idea of a change of activity, recreation. Recreation. You're recreating. You're getting your body back to where it can do what it's intended to do. You're getting your soul back, your mind, will, and emotions. The difficulty of filling our souls with things that can't satisfy. I think of this more and more as I get older. All the things that we work so hard for are not going to buy us one more day, one more minute. They're not going to buy us rest. They're not going to buy us peace. They're not going to buy us comfort. They're not going to buy us strength. In fact, they end up being a burden. I remember a man when I was a boy at home. We built a house for him. It was back a long paved driveway, gated, fenced off. The man lived back there. He had bodyguards, wealthy man. Slept with a gun under his pillow. You know what happened when he woke up in the morning? He was tired. He was tired. Why? Stuff. All the stuff that he had to deal with. And Jesus talks about that in the parable of the sower. He said there's some people that got the word of God. It actually came into their heart and started to grow. And then the thorns and the thistles and all the stuff around crowded it out and it died. He says, it's all this stuff around us that does that. Jesus says, you come to me and I'll give you rest. You know why he told the young rich man to sell everything that he had? This very reason right here. Because he knew that if that young man continued to set his heart on the stuff, it was going to choke out the word. It was going to choke out the life. And he needed to come and follow. And in order to come and follow, he had to get rid of his stuff. He went away sad. Wasn't going to do that. Make sure that you weigh whether the things that you're looking at, the things that you're considering, the things that you want are going to satisfy. Are they things that you sat at the feet of Jesus and he said, do this? Or is it just what I want to do? The substitute of relief in place of rest. You know what most of us are looking for? Relief. I'm not looking for rest. I just want to feel better now for a few moments. Relief. That substitute ends up costing us immensely. We prefer distractions. Do you know that? Our world prefers distractions. We don't want to think. We prefer amusements in place of meditation. You know those two words are opposite? You know what the word muse means? What is the word muse? M-U-S-E. What does it mean? To meditate, to think on, to focus on something. You know what amuse means? Not to think. Amusements are designed to keep us from thinking. Now, there's nothing wrong with having fun. But if our life is focused on amusement rather than on meditation, we're going the wrong way. And it doesn't matter whether it's some kind of a very expensive amusement or whether it's just playing games with friends. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that's what we do so that we don't need to think, we're creating a problem for ourselves. If we're going to come and follow Jesus, we have to spend time with Him so that He can give us rest. Our world is constantly checking out, numbing, sedating ourselves, just doing whatever we can so we don't have to face where we are. Rather than restoring, rather than taking time, meditating, going in the presence of the Lord, and being refreshed and strengthened, we just take another pill. Because we can't handle it. We just do another thing to get our mind off of it. And our world is full of that. Almost all of the homeless are addicts. What's their problem? Is it that they don't have the ability? Is it that they don't have anybody that cares? Most generally not. Generally, it's that they don't want to face something in their lives. And so they numb themselves, they check out, they sedate. And we look at the homeless and we say, they have a problem. I have a problem. We have a problem. Come unto me. So simple. So clear. So plain. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. You'll find rest to your souls. Here's a big one that gets us into trouble. We look at others. Well, I'm obviously more rested than Craig. I mean, not now, but a few weeks ago, he was getting up at 3 in the morning, 2, 3 in the morning, and coming home wore out. And I'm more rested than Craig, so I must be in a better place, right? Pretty stupid. Paul says that comparing yourselves with others is not wise. In other words, it's dumb. It's dumb. But it's something that we do in place of seeking rest. Rather than allowing God to speak to our heart, we just look at what everybody else is doing. And that becomes the basis of whether we're experiencing what God wants us to or not. Now this, I don't have time to go into this. Getting our dopamine fix from social media rather than from God's unconditional love. I'll just say this real quickly. In our brain, there's a gland. And that gland, when we feel love, that gland puts out dopamine. And that dopamine runs down over our brain and it feels good. You know what can trigger that dopamine? A lot of stuff. Likes on social media can trigger that. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but it can. Sexual experiences can trigger that. All kinds of things that we can do to trigger that feeling of being loved. You know what God intended? God intended, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will pour out unconditional love over you. God intended for us to come into His presence and experience His love, and for that to be our dopamine fix. And we run to all kinds of things to feel loved, to feel liked, rather than come into the feet of Jesus and finding true joy. It's interesting. Researchers are actually finding a direct link, not indirect, direct link between the rise of envy, depression, and those kind of things, comparative things, where we're comparing to each other, and the use of social media. The more you use social media, the more likely you're going to have to do some dealing with envy and jealousy. People, it is not real. When someone posts on social media, do they put all their junk out there? No. Everything's perfect. Yeah, my husband, he's so great. And my kids, they're so great. And if you'd see them at their house, they're cussing them out and treating them like dirt. But out in the social media world, it looks wonderful. And we watch that and we get jealous. We get envious. Sorry. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Come to Jesus. Our rest is only in Him, nowhere else. You can hunt the world over. You are not going to find rest until you come to the feet of Jesus. I don't care whether you're a Christian or whether you're not. If you're not a Christian, you need to come to Him for salvation and find rest from your sin. If you are a Christian, you need to come find rest for your mind, will, and emotions, because they're constantly being bombarded by all the stuff going on around us. If you think you're exempt, you're kidding yourself. We all deal with it. Our thoughts get troubled. Our will gets diverted. We stop following. We start choosing our own path. Our emotions become distorted. We get all troubled rather than full of joy and the presence of God. Come to Jesus. Jesus needs to be my audience of one. When you stand before God, when this life is over, you're not going to have a whole crowd around you. And He's going to ask, what did your friends think? What did they do? It's going to be me and Jesus. Me and the Father. And if I can learn now, and I'm not discounting the brotherhood, not discounting each other. We're important to each other. We can encourage, we can build, we can strengthen. But in the end of the day, Jesus is my audience of one. If I have not pleased Him at the end of the day, my day is wasted. If I have not done what He wants me to do at the end of the day, it's not a good thing. He's my audience of one. My focus needs to be, and I appreciated that, Chad, we want to draw near to Christ. We want to hear from Him. We want Him to speak to us. You know how that happens? Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. That invitation to come. Peter says it this way, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all. A-L-L, you know what that word is? A-L-L? All? All your care. Everything that you're carrying, every burden, every weight, everything that you're connected to, actually a yoke is just a connection, everything that you're connected to, casting all on Him. Why? Why do we cast that on Him? Because He cares for us. You matter to Him. I matter to Him. We all matter to Him. To the extent, go back to Isaiah 53, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He carried it all already. There is no need for us to carry it. He already carried it. And so when we come to Him, we just say, Jesus, thank you. You carried this. Thank you that I can go free. Free from all the thoughts that trouble me. Free from all the cares, the worries, the hurries, all the things. I just read a poem the other day, very interesting, talked about how God is not in a hurry. An oak tree takes hundreds of years to grow. The leaves fall slowly to the ground. God's rhythm is a rhythm of order, but it's not chaotic. If our lives are chaotic, we need to stop and look what's going on. John Eldridge said this in his book, Get Your Life Back. He said, the invitation of God is an unburdened life. So I'd like to ask us today as we come to a close, is my life unburdened? Have I taken my cares and put them on Him? I like to do this. I don't do it nearly as much as I should, but I've learned to do it at times. And that is just in my mind to go to the foot of the cross, close my eyes, just find myself there at the foot of the cross, and take whatever burden I have and place it there and ask Him to cover it with His blood. And I've seen so many times when I went there, that big burden that I put there at the foot of the cross, and just one drop of His blood falls on that and it's gone. It's just gone. I don't have to carry it anymore. I don't have to deal with it. It's not mine. It's His. Casting all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls, your mind, will, and emotions. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you that you have made it possible that all the heavy burdens, the burdens of relationships, the burdens of thoughts, the burden of cares, the burden of worries, the burden of fears, all of those things that come and want to destroy us, want to drag us down, want to separate us from you, want to separate us from others, every one of them, you've carried. And you're just asking us to come to you and learn from you. Thank you. I ask your Holy Spirit to go with us today and in the days to come. Remind us of this truth, this reality, this promise. And God, you are right, and we confess that before you today. In Jesus' name, amen.